If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All August long, we're doing a Kind of Funny Patreon pledge drive and asking you to chip in on patreon.com/kindoffunny if you enjoy the shows. For real, we're an 11-person independent operation, and we couldn't do it without your financial support on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So thank you.
What's up and welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, August 16, 2023. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm a little mind blown. Right before the show started, I learned that Jared Leto was the lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars.
I've only ever heard of 30 Seconds to Mars via Jared Leto, so I don't understand how it went the other way for you.
I just knew him as an actor. I know a lot of people don't like him.
Sure.
That's kind of what I know about him. 30 Seconds to Mars, Drops to Jupiter. I'm not sure what each of those are. I know they're musically related. I don't know if they're related. I don't know what
Drops of Jupiter, the train
Drops
song?
Of Jupiter, Tears of Jupiter.
Drops of Jupiter.
I don't fucking know what I'm talking about.
Barry gave me the karaoke for it.
Oh my God. Anyways, I don't know, but I feel thrown off.
That's a fucking jam right there. Train's got it. You like their San Francisco
train.
Song?
Train.
Train sings Drops of Jupiter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then who's Tool and who's Cake? Are they all related?
Cake? No, I don't think so.
No, they're not related. No, I mean, they aired at the same time. You know what I mean?
Mm. Alyssa taught the one of the kids from Train.
You know,
like
again,
the drummer's kid.
Like I told you, like San Francisco. They got that good San Francisco song.
Yeah.
They
talk it's all about the way to the top, everybody. Coast. Of course, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday, we come at you live with all the video game news that you need to know. Of course, you could watch it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, because we like to give you options. Options including watching the show later, not live, as a VOD. Go to the same place as I said. You can go to YouTube. You can go to Rooster Teeth. It's great. Options galore. Even more options for you. You can listen to it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games Daily, and we will be right there in your ear holes. If you want to go above and beyond, though, the best option, some would say, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go, where you can get a whole bunch of bonus content, including weekly Kind of Feudies, daily Gregways, a whole bunch of fun stuff. Remember, Blanks, we're recording one today. Do you know what the topic is?
I sure do. Horror video games.
Horror video games. Horror. Ooh, I'm going to talk a little bit about Fatal Frame 2.
All right.
What I'm going to do. Scared the shit out of me. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney, the Delaney Brothers, for helping us do what we do here. Today's stories include Starfield going gold, Baldur's Gate 3 is the best reviewed game of the year, and more, which is really exciting to everybody involved. Are you playing any more of this Baldur's Gate, Greg?
When it comes to PlayStation, yes.
That's right.
That's been the agreement.
That's right.
That's been the agreement. The gentleman's agreement I have with Baldur's Gate. I respect what it's done, but I want to play it on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Thank you.
Today we're about to...
I have Tim's approval, everybody. It's okay to do it. It's a big deal for me.
Unlike Blessing.
Let's not get started on this turncoat.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
I want to go on the bit of giving him shit. I'm so proud of my boy. He opened up a PC not once but multiple times at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if every night he's in that thing. You know what I mean?
I did not like that action. You had to open that PC. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk to Bless about it.
All right.
I'll tell you about you by Liquid IV, but we'll tell you all about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It is time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starfield has gone gold, everybody.
Woo!
It's real. It's out there. It is being shipped to stores. It is being digitally put into consoles and servers and clouds and all of the things.
Right now, Todd Howard himself is taking disc by disc and putting it into his drive to upload it to the Xbox cloud to distribute it everywhere.
Bethesda Game Studios themselves, Greg, tweet today. Prepare for launch. Starfield's got gold.
Power through it. Yeah, I love it. I respect it.
Reloads begin tomorrow for Xbox X and S and Windows PC, and August 30th for Steam. They have this little graphic that explains that via graphics.
I'll tell you, I read it. It didn't make any sense to me. When I saw the graphic, I got it.
Like,
Starfield preload begins August 17th, Xbox, yeah. August 30th, Steam. So if you don't mind, if we can go to the wide shot. Wide shot, the widest you can go, like, you know, the jib shot. That's what I would call the widest, right? And I'll just get up here and I'll go, on behalf of all console players, Steam players, suck it.
Dang.
Suck it.
Wow.
Suck it.
Holy shit, three times.
Enjoy it. Get it. You can't even preload it early. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, you have to wait 13 more days to preload.
Fucking clowns.
How does that fucking
How's feel? That feel, Blessing?
I mean, he could get it on Windows PC. On August 17th.
That is not what the graphic says.
You're
the
right.
Graphic says Xbox.
But Xbox on PC. On Windows PC. Xbox PC. They've been working really hard on the branding, Greg. And I think
it's not working. All right? There is an Xbox logo there, and I see it, and that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So this is obviously exciting news. One of the biggest Xbox games, if not the biggest Xbox game.
Of all time?
Yeah. Launch-wise. Expectations wise, I don't know. I mean, let's talk. Let's have a real conversation here.
Sure.
Before this, what would it be? Halo 3.
Yeah. I would jump to a Halo for sure.
Oh, Halo 2. Obviously, a lot going into that, but I think that the 3 definitely trumped 2 in terms of how many years of expectations, and, yeah. The Xbox 360, it being the second swing at online with Xbox Live and all of that. Obviously, the midnight of releases, the tournaments, like the fervor around it, they nailed it. People loved it. Co-op worked out the gate, split screen. It just worked. The story was good.
Yeah.
It had an end to it. It was online. Man,
here's what you're doing. Yeah, you're getting too into the weeds. It doesn't matter what came after launch. We're talking about that. What made the biggest launch.
So, but all of that said, even with it doing as well as it did, the numbers that it had, video games are just so much bigger now.
Sure.
Just by sheer definition.
Well, this is into a complete, and I agree, and I love having a conversation with you where I take off
then
my glasses
converse.
So I can see the entire fucking lie you're publishing, all right? But, yes, okay, well, biggest is a whole different thing. This is an argument, obviously, that continues on right now a lot in the wrestling community. Is wrestling bigger than it was in the 90s, right? Well, the Attitude Era and the Nielsen ratings, well, that's apples and oranges. Like, you know, people don't consume TV that way, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, more people, I think, we'll be buying and engaging with Starfield than anything else. And so, yes, then technically, if you want to be a bean counter and get into it, it'll be the biggest Xbox launch. But I thought we're talking about, like, juice and importance and what it means in terms of a stake in the ground for Xbox.
I mean,
and again, I think that there's a case to be made that, yes, this is.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm a Halo boy, so sure, I'm rocking with Halo there. But at the same time, it's like looking at everything you're saying about the numbers being bigger, the install base, the Game Pass of it all. Like, there's going to be records broken by Starfield for sure. But in terms of what this means for Xbox,
yeah,
is it, when we look at other stories going on right now with Baldur's Gate, of RPGs being such a dominant genre in video games,
yeah,
where for years shooters were the number one thing, right? And they still are in many different ways, but I think gaming has broadened where there can't just be one dominant thing. There can be multiple dominant
verticals. There's more than one royal family.
There's more than
RPGs.
One royal. That's how it works. And I think Bethesda is one of them, right?
100%.
And all eyes on this, not just because it's a Bethesda game, not just because it's a new IP for them, not just because it looks awesome and it's presented so well so far, but because it is the... I mean, let's start here. Is this the biggest Xbox series game so far?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
I mean, dang. That's a lot, right?
Who would you talk to? You're going to talk to Halo Infinite? Like,
yeah, I would. You know, and then that didn't hit where it needed to hit.
Yeah.
But I think even with Halo Infinite going into it, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows in the preview process of that, right?
Yeah.
Or a preview is not even the right word, but the marketing lead up and all of that shit, lest we forget. I've already forgot his name. Chad?
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. The grunt soldier,
yes,
or whatever.
That whole stuff, right?
Yeah. Might have been Greg or Greg or
Craig,
something like that. Craig?
It was Craig. Thank you. We got there.
That's what we do here.
What we fucking do. I feel like Halo Infinite had missteps leading into launch, whereas Starfield, I feel like the worst thing it did was get delayed, but it didn't feel like it got delayed after this. It felt like it just got delayed due to natural causes.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
I don't think Halo Infinite had the juice and expectations Starfield has. And I think that's also be, and I don't get me wrong, expectations were extremely high for Halo Infinite. People were very excited for Halo Infinite. This isn't a knock against Halo Infinite. I think based on the track record of the Xbox brand / series up to this point, there's more riding on Starfield. We are in an era of, you know, let the dominoes fall, the dominoes and all that, which has now become a joke, right? But Halo is one of the dominoes that didn't fall, right, when we thought it would. And we thought that was going to take the world by storm and really become a, hey, this is a, you're opening up your Xbox and you're playing Fortnite, you're playing Call of Duty, or you're playing Halo. Like, you're going to be back to this multiplayer. This will be a staple of the Xbox Series X and S, and it hasn't been.
And right, going back to the domino comparison there, like jumping from dominoes to a different children's toy, Greg.
Sure.
I guess old people play with both of these things too, marbles.
Sure.
Right? There was always the big marble.
Yeah.
Boulder.
Your shooter?
Shooter.
Is that what it was?
Shooter.
I forget.
I think shooter. That sounds right. Halo as a brand was that, is not anymore that. And sure, that's why I feel like Halo Infinite had a lot riding on it, because it was Halo's last chance at being the bigger marble, the biggest marble.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like Starfield separately is dealing with Bethesda that has not only had hits, they have had misses with things like Fallout 76, right? But I think we all as a community understand the difference between Starfield and Fallout 76.
Yeah.
And going back even to Fallout 4, the biggest criticism of that game, lobbied against it, is it's just more Fallout 3, which everybody loved. So it was more not a problem with the game
for Fallout 4,
as much as it was, did I say something else?
I thought you said 76, but
I meant Fallout 4.
I'm just clarifying.
I meant Fallout 4. That it was less about the quality of the game and more the expectations of innovation and evolution of something, whereas Starfield looks to be answering that. So I feel like because of all that and it looking so good in marketing so far, it kind of just sets it up differently. Where,
sure, I agree with you, but I think you're also forgetting about Redfall and where that has left us and the Xbox brand and the Bethesda studios that have come over with it, right? And I think that even to this point, right, like, we're going to talk about the latest review here, PC Gamer, right, and what they're doing, what they're saying about Baldur's Gate, and obviously what Baldur's Gate is doing in the community, what Blessing is doing, everybody else, is the fact that I'm very excited to play it on PlayStation, where I played it, and I was like, I'll be fine, but then blah, blah. We're talking about right now a unknown quantity in Starfield. It presented very well. It looked really great. None of us have played it.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
No, that's like, very, very, very good point.
Baldur's Gate 3 had that big old Belgium event where a lot of people went there and a lot of people came back with impressions, and they were all glowing.
Early access as well.
Exactly. Great point. I didn't think about that. We're still talking about Starfield as, man, it presented really well. What is it going to be like to get on sticks, or God fucking forbid you got kicked by a mule in mouse and keyboard? We don't know what that'll actually feel like moment to moment. And so I think there's honestly this crazy story right now that if I'm Starfield, I'm actually very concerned about the reception Baldur's Gate 3 has gotten. And I'm not trying to get into, I know there's been a big thing lately of like, are developers like fucking changing their game? Because no, I'm not saying that. I just mean that the scales of hype have tipped in a very interesting and almost unheard of way, where Baldur's Gate 3 really seemed, when it moved up its date, to be like, yo, we're just a small game, we're this little indie thing, we're just trying to get out of the way of Starfield so you can all play Starfield. Then they launched it and everybody's like, yo, this is the shit. This game is fucking insane. I'm out, you know, we went to Imran's bachelor party. All one side of the table was talking about was sharing their Baldur's Gate 3 stories. You know, Bless comes in and can't stop talking about things he's done. And then I hear Barrett saying it, and this, then that, blah, blah. And it's like, there is such a groundswell of like, holy shit, Baldur's Gate 3 is amazing. I mean, Bless even tweets today, Baldur's Gate could be game of the year, y'all. We're talking about Tears of the Kingdom.
Wild, right? Yeah.
If I'm Starfield, I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? Because it is the fact that Xbox can't have another miss. This needs to be Xbox's AAA home run. Yep, Starfield is in the running for game of the year. Though, if Starfield comes out and is an 8, that is bad news bears, right? That, and like, again, not that Nate's a bad game, not that, no, Bethesda and Todd Howard should be ashamed of that or something like that. It's just like, in this fucking year, in a year of games this good, to have something gestating that long with that team and those expectations to come out and not be a 10 out of 10, a 9 out of 10, a 9.5, like, that's trouble. And so it's a very interesting thing to be here. Like, what I keep thinking about is, I was so sure when we did the impressions / kind of funny review or whatever of Baldur's Gate 3, our impressions at the review embargo, but we got the code so late because, again, down to the wire, them finishing this game to get it out to you. When we did it, I was very much like, Yo, it's a very smart... I don't know why I keep saying yo today. Yo, Greg Raps. Yo, it's a very smart move for them to have moved the date up to get in front of Starfield and then kept their PlayStation date. So when PlayStation gamers want an RPG, they can't get the big one. They can't get Starfield, so they'll play this. I am now in this very fascinating thing where I think a world exists in the multiverse right now where we are going to get Starfield review code, which, again, we don't have. I want to always be very clear about this. We will one day get Starfield review code. I will play it all the way to the review embargo, and then come September 5th, 6th, 7th, whatever it is, I forget, I play Baldur's Gate instead on PlayStation, where I've had my fill of Starfield. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. In my head, when we did the Baldur's Gate thing, I was like, we're going to get review code eventually for Starfield, and clearly I'll play that all the way till September, or through September into October, you know, getting ready. So, like, Spider-Man and Alan Wake and all that, that'll carry me that way. And now we're in this thing of, like, well, what I have that question in my head of, what if Starfield doesn't deliver what I'm expecting or what I want, or doesn't take it that extra step? What if I get it and it is, oh, this is good, this is fine, I reviewed it, here's the score, you know, the Paris is lead review, obviously, blah, blah, blah. We do all the coverage stuff, but then I'm done and I move to Baldur's Gate, which isn't unheard of, but isn't what I was expecting. That isn't unheard of, to finish a review and move immediately to the next thing, but it's not what I was expecting as a possibility as I sit here jonesing for the next Todd Howard RPG.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. You bring up something that I haven't thought about, and I'm going to need a little clarification on this. Has no one played Starfield?
Yeah, to my knowledge, right, Chad?
There's been no preview. There's been no outlet had a cover story or something.
Informer has had cover stories. I might be talking my ass. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, but we are watching, chat. Falcon says, Ryan McCaffrey, Dr. Id. What? Tomorrow is the first time somebody says
IGN something. Played an hour. McCaffrey's the only one. He played it briefly at Summer Game Fest. Okay, cool.
Okay.
So we have one person.
An hour.
That played an hour.
And that's not me knocking IGN or McCaffrey, who we love the site. Absolutely. Love Ron McCaffrey. Yeah, yeah. It's just like, for RPG this big, an hour is...
And I'm only, yeah, what's the difference? Like, RPGs are hard to show off in that way, where it's like, what's the difference between an hour or 2 hours? Like, you know what I mean? Unless there's a full-ass preview event that's like, you're playing for 8 hours over 3 days or whatever.
Sure.
I'm really interested in thinking back. Has there ever been a game this big that's coming out, that has gone gold, that no one has played except Ryan McCaffrey for an hour? Because you even think back to like the Cyberpunks and stuff. Those had preview events. Those had, and they might have been later. That was also during a pandemic.
Yeah.
So
I don't remember Fallout 4. Fallout 4, did they do preview events, or was it a similar thing? Because I didn't play. I don't think I played Fallout 4 before launch, right?
And to be clear, I honestly think that the industry's changed enough that like there is no standard of like, well, oh, this is a bad sign. I mean, Baldur's
Gate. Oh no.
I don't think that it's that. I am just saying, like, it's interesting that a game this high profile and this big can do this, and maybe that's just Bethesda's MO when it comes to those type of games, and obviously being different than the Redfalls that we were talking about earlier, where Redfall didn't have the hype going into it. Redfall, correct, people were hopeful for, but also there was a lot of people like, I don't know about this.
And there was a preview event that our guys came back from, like,
I don't know about this, right? Whereas like Starfield hasn't had that. So I think that because of all those factors, there's like a anticipation and excitement for Starfield that is potentially unrivaled or rarely rivaled on Xbox's history, in Xbox's history, right?
For sure.
But yeah, man, I'm nuts. I'm going nuts about the fact that people haven't played this fucking game.
It's, you know, what I joke around about earlier this week and late last week, and I've said for a million different things, of like, this is how I'd love to see a GTA come out in a lot of ways, right? Of just like, drop it. Don't even worry about it. And granted, I'm always saying just show the logo, don't show anything else. Starfield, again, though, is so big that even though we did that the Starfield Direct, I still feel like I don't know what that's going to be around every curve. I don't know what the thing... coming off of that Direct and now being months away, I've forgotten what my place is in the story as a character, which I like. I like the idea that I am buying into. This is a Bethesda RPG. This is a Western RPG. It's a Todd Howard game, which means I know what... I think I know what it will feel like and what the, you know, mood will be and yada, yada. Like, I'm excited just to hit start and go and see where this takes me and what it is. And I hope I don't know much more about it. Like, you know, we look back at Tears of the Kingdom and how much the discovery and excitement and the levels to that world were huge moments for people finding on their own. That's what I'm looking forward to with Starfield, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Tears is actually probably a good example, too, of like how limited the preview opportunities were for that game. Like, yeah, people didn't preview it or play it, and even beyond that, the game wasn't talked about. Like, we had so many questions, like, what is the difference between it and Breath of the Wild? Like, up until, like, it felt like a month before the game came out, and even then, they kept a lot locked, which was great, and ended up being awesome for them. Very interesting stuff.
Very interesting stuff. I can't wait.
Dude, we're August 16th right now. That's the game comes out
September 1st is early access.
Wow, man. Yeah, wow, two weeks away. Yeah. And then we'll know. Then everyone will play it.
Yeah.
Not just Ryan McCaffrey.
No, everybody. Check out our Gamescast where we talk about our plan. It's the latest one up. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames podcast services around the globe. Me, Paris, and Andy talk about what our plans for Starfield are, both as a company and as players.
Story number two. PC Gamer gives Baldur's Gate 3 its highest score in 16 years.
Say what?
After 160 hours, here's our Baldur's 3 review with the highest score we've given a game in 16 years. They tweeted out, Fraser Brown at PC Gamer gives it a 97 out of 100.
Wowie zowie!
After spending 160 hours unraveling conspiracies, setting fire to monsters, and finding increasingly fancy hats for my bard, I can now confidently say that Baldur's Gate 3 is the greatest RPG I've ever played. If I wasn't writing this review, I'd be rolling a brand new character and jumping in for another 100 hours. I've got it bad, just like Usher. I added that part. It's my dream game. The best parts of Ultima, Baldur's Gate, Planescape, Torment, Arcanum. It's crazy how much I don't know some of these games. Arcanum of Steamworks and Magic Obscura and Divinity Original Sin. But it also does so much more than tap into the RPG greatest hits, finding a way to unite disparate philosophies like cinematic storytelling, unhinged sandbox mayhem, and tabletop style role playing. Yes, it says you can have your cake and eat it too. And boy, is it absolutely massive, as deep as it is wide. I love that. That's great. Very descriptive.
Yeah.
Each of the three acts could be their own epic RPG, jam-packed with elaborate dungeons, strikingly memorable quests, and unique stakes, supported by systems that offer a truly intimidating amount of player freedom. It's a game overflowing with crossroads, with every step conjuring up yet more paths trying to seduce you off the beaten path, track. After reviewing a game this ridiculously large, there's usually a sense of relief when I'm done, but not here. To be honest, I could have easily reached the game's climax days earlier, but I just couldn't bring myself to call it. I felt compelled to see as much as humanly possible in one playthrough because it's all just so bloody incredible. Whenever I found a new quest to distract me, I was overjoyed, another reason to keep playing. More of the best-in-class writing, more of these gripping fights that have seen me duking it out well into the small hours of the morning, more magical artifacts to cram into my beautiful mess of an inventory. I'm genuinely gutted that it's over. So I guess there's only one solution. Start all over again. I'm buzzing with excitement. Baldur's Gate 3 also has the highest Metacritic score of the year currently at a 97 with a 9.2 user score.
What a fucking year.
What a year. What a varied year. Different genres, different, like this type of game being reviewed this well, being played by this many people. That 800K Steam number still blows my mind.
Yeah,
just how impressive that is.
And think about this again, like, this is Larian Studio and their PR have played this perfectly, that you have had a month of unadulterated hype of how, not even hype, of putting the crown on this game's head. This is an amazing game, this is the greatest RPG of all time, etc., etc., etc. And now after a month of nonstop noise, you're about to put it out on PlayStation that first week of September and have a whole group go, I don't have Starfield, which theoretically everybody's talking about on Xbox side and enjoying, hopefully, or saying, I can't believe Larian Studios has outdone Bethesda in an RPG thing. They're going to, like, this game is going to, like, go insane on PlayStation. Insane on PlayStation. It is going to do ridiculous numbers in September.
Yeah.
For a whole, and again, I've talked about it before this year, of the breakouts, right, of like Diablo 4 being this big breakthrough for, hey, maybe you missed Diablo 3 and you've just heard about it over the past 11 years. You know, it used to be a PC game. Now they're building it for console, etc. Like, this is going to be a breakthrough in terms of, you've heard of Baldur's Gate forever, but maybe you didn't have a computer. Maybe you never wanted to play it, blah, 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 blah. And here it is. And it is doing this RPG thing. It is doing it, you know, this D&D roll the dice thing when D&D is bigger than ever. Tabletop
way D&D bigger.
Is bigger than ever. I just did a Greg Way last week, but I think I might have posted this week about, you know, when will tabletop games get their due? And I'm like, I think they're in it right now. I think this is the moment for that, right? Of like, you look at the success of Critical Role and the shows and Stranger Things doing D&D. Like, people get that in a way they didn't get. And I think people are looking for that in video games in a way they weren't looking before. Like, yeah. This thing is about to be a juggernaut on PlayStation in a way where I really, when it first got it, I was like, oh, that's cute. That's an afterthought to put on PlayStation. I think it'll still get drowned out by Starfield. And again, we're in this weird nebulous gray area. It might get drowned out by Starfield. Maybe Starfield is the greatest thing since sliced bread and yada, yada, yada. Like, again, I'm more excited for the moment-to-moment action of Starfield. But even playing that 6 hours for the impressions piece of Baldur's Gate 3, I was like, damn, this storytelling and the consequences and the decisions early on this much are giving me narrative vibes that I don't get from other games. So that, you know, to hear everybody talking and what they've done, like, it gets me excited that I really do feel like, even though I don't vibe with the Baldur's Gate gameplay the way I do Starfield, I really do feel like I'm going to end up playing so much of this.
Here's my big question. Does it play well on PlayStation 5? Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful. I think that with the staggered release, it's going to. But I brought this up a couple of weeks ago. This is one of the rare instances of a game coming to PC first and then being ported to console.
Yeah.
In this day and age, on that scale, we get indie games all the time, but I can't think of a game during this generation that's of this critically well-received, how big it is, all of that, making the jump this way. I'm hopeful. I hope that they stick the landing there because, yeah, if they do, and even if it's not perfect, even if it's like there's a couple hindrances here or there, sure, whatever, but overall, it's not a Jedi Survivor situation where, sure, it's like there's a lot of tech problems or whatever the fuck, right? I feel like, yeah, this is going to sell massively.
If I can jump in on mm-hmm. that, I am confident it will. And I think that Larian Studios is smart enough and has already shown that they will make a tough call. If it is not, I think they delay it. And I think it wouldn't matter. Yeah. I think they would be lauded as they should of like, holy shit, you're the hottest thing in the world right now. And you're saying, no, we need more time for this PlayStation 5 version. I mean, look at the Xbox thing, right? Of like, there's no date on the Xbox version because, of course, they're trying to figure out split screen parity between S and X. And it runs fine on the X, but knocks on the S. And there's a whole thing with Xbox. So it's like, they've shown already that like, yo, we believe in this game. We know what its reputation is. We know what our reputation is. And again, like, if you're not aware, ladies and gentlemen, you are living right now. You are reliving, I should say, CD Projekt Red's moment with Witcher 3, where there was a bunch of Witcher games before. CD Projekt made a bunch of games before. And for the most part, everyone either played them on their PC and they were very, you know, this is what we do, yada, yada, or you ignored it. And the hype to Witcher 3 was like, holy shit, this thing's awesome. Oh my God, blah, blah, blah. And then it dropped and suddenly CD Projekt Red could do no wrong. CD Projekt was a name, was a thing. This was somebody you were excited for their games and competing with, and they were doing right by fans and yada, yada. Larian is having that moment. You are living that moment. There will now be a before and after for Larian.
You're
where the
so
next
right.
game, whatever Larian wants to do or however they want to support Baldur's Gate 3, they will have unlimited goodwill. And so I do not think they're in the mood to fuck that up.
Yeah. Excellent points all around.
That's what I
Gregory
do.
Miller. So proud of you. Give it to me one more time. You want to get up there? Get up there. Can I get the jib? No, I wanted the...
Suck it, PC thank players. Thank that's
you.
What you want?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. I don't know why I called for that right before I told you.
I don't know why I'm doing like the Big Show WCW version of the Crash Shop, not even the DX. Mm-hmm. I think
we'll
it's
talk
just
about
got
that
mic.
When we get back from a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Y'all know how much I love to stay hydrated, and Liquid IV makes it easier and better than ever to ensure that I'm always living my best, most hydrated life. And you can too. Liquid IV, the number one powered hydration brand in America, is now available in sugar-free with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, and you can keep your daily routine exciting with 3 new flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. Let me tell you, the white peach is good. It's real good. We hear it kind of funny, swear by this stuff. 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Now sugar-free, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplayer sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code kindoffunny at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code kindoffunny at liquidiv.com.
The smartest guy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The company.
Oh, and we're back. Barrett, you wanted to bring up an important tweet.
Oh, there you go, guys. Metacricket has come out of hibernation to say Baldur's Gate 3 is good.
That is important. That is important for everybody to know.
Rush to Twitter or X.com.
I've never understood this, Greg, because I came into wrestling later than most people did. Yeah. What is the difference between the cross chops? Like, there's the X, but then there's also the more like V-shaped one.
Yeah.
Where growing up, I always thought it was a gendered situation.
Interesting.
For the kids at my school, that's how they would treat it.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. Greg, you're welcome to step in and tell me if I'm wrong. The way my interpretation of it always was is that the X cross chop was always the DX move. And then when WCW wanted to do cross chops, they didn't want to promote DX. They always did the little like thing like this. But there is an infamous gif of Shawn Michaels walking to the ring doing the V cross chop. But it's before I think DX was huge.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was right in the formation period of
that. Has anyone ever had more swag than that gif of Shawn Michaels just walking?
Well, there's the one, if you've never seen it, where there's a guy so mad in the crowd and he's like doing a blowjob. He's like doing a very detailed blowjob.
The most detailed.
that might be, I guess.
I don't know that swag.
I don't know, man.
He was getting in there. There was talent. There was skill. There was ball fond.
Yeah,
everybody. Story number three.
You're the heartbreak kid, all right? You know something about giving a blowjob.
Hi-Fi Rush surpassed 3 million players. A hell to the yeah. 3 million players have turned up to rock in Hi-Fi Rush. Thank you from everyone at Tango Gameworks. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Super awesome. 3 million players. It is always interesting now that we're in this era that we're not just talking about sales. There is just a player base, right? That used to be more of a PC metric, but now thanks to things like Game Pass, it's an important metric to talk about. But yeah, what an excellent game. What an excellent year of video games where this thing came out so early as such a surprise. And people are still talking about it. Maybe not enough, but hey, I don't think that's the fault of anyone or the game. There's just too much shit out there at this point.
100%. Again, yeah, this is, first off, such a success story to see the 3 million numbers, to see they're able to still make a beat and, hey, call out how great Hi-Fi Rush did. And again, great placement, right, to get out in the early part of the year, which was also crazy. Mm-hmm. But now it's that point where, like, we're in such a not doomsday era. I mean, we're in the shit right now. So like the amount of PR people I've turned down in the last 2 days who have hit me up for, hey, we'd love to do this preview. And I'm like, I just cannot get a person out of the office or do anything. I'm sorry right now. You know, I feel bad doing that, but it's like, it is raining review codes right now. And even that, it's like, we're juggling. All right, well, what'll just be a preview? What'll just be a thing where I'll play this for a couple hours, but I'll talk about it when we do a review roundup, da, da, da. Like, it's insane right now. So the fact that Hi-Fi Rush got out when it got out, did the surprise launch, was a great win for Xbox in a year where they needed it. And of course, is a new IP, a colorful new thing, a different thing for Tango, right? Like
a different thing for Xbox, yeah. Right? Like, I feel like it just fits such a important hole that Xbox had, that like the Xbox Game Studios had. Like this game coming out and delivering the way that they marketed it, I feel like it even gave a voice to the Inside Xbox thing that they did, the developer showcase thing.
Yeah.
It was just like, across the board, it was a win. You know, the way they announced the game was the win, the way it rolled out was the win. The people loved this game. So I hope we see more of it. I expect that we will see more of it in the next coming years. But it's cool to see how, while we're still waiting for Xbox to knock them dominoes over and like the big things and like get that all that whole cadence going, it's cool that the Hi-Fi Rushes and the Pentiments exist out there, that they are getting some of these like extremely established studios that we know and love and that we have expectations for, and allow them to be like, hey, they have an idea, let's do something different. And those games are pretty well reviewed. Like, they haven't had a miss of those yet, off the top of my head at least, right? And it's like, sure, there's smaller games, and like, I feel like even Pentiment Hi-Fi Rush is a different, not exact comparison,
sure,
but I think compared to a Halo or a Starfield, it is different. Even a Forza, which has like an understanding of the expectations on what that game is going to deliver, who the intended audience is, who the potential audience is of people that are just going to give it a shot, especially now that it's on Game Pass, right? Like, I expect Forza Motorsport's going to come out later this year to record-breaking numbers. For, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But that's just how this all works. But, yeah, Hi-Fi Rush, I think, is a very special game that people are going to be talking about for years because of how unique it is. And I think it's unique not in just one way. I think there's a lot of unique elements.
And again, you hope that this speaks to the unique way that Phil and team are running Xbox Game Studios, where, yes, you can have your giant Halo, you can have your giant Starfield, but the smaller studios we have, or not actually to do that, the other studios we have can make smaller games. Tango doesn't have to go to another Evil Within right away. They can do this side thing. They can pop this out quicker, faster. Do they like it? Is there a future in it? You can look, of course, to Pentiment, like you're talking about. Do you want to launch right into one of the other giant RPGs you're working on? No, we're going to do this thing. Okay, great. Run with that. Do that. Xbox Game Pass needs content. Xbox needs to show the diversity of its studios in a way that, and that's what I'm saying from their marching orders, right, from Phil and company, they're doing something that PlayStation isn't. Like, I don't expect, you know, Naughty Dog's next game, and let's say we didn't know anything about factions and that gestating, and then the, like, I don't expect a small cel-shaded whatever from them. Something, hey, we had this idea, we worked on it, now it's going to be a full game, and it's only, you know, it's 5 hours, it's that, the other, da-da. I don't expect that from Naughty Dog, Sucker Punch, Polyphony, you know what I mean? Like, you know what they're going to be.
Absolutely. Out. It's funny, though. You say that, though, and I do think that it's different. It's just the way Sony goes about things. They kind of have done that with Lost Legacy, right? It's not Pentiment
sure.
in terms of the type of game that it is and its scale. It is just a smaller Uncharted, literally, by definition. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But Insomniac with Miles Morales, like, there's big swings that are for smaller projects, but on a bigger scale. I appreciate that as well.
Oh, of course. And PlayStation's strategy for your Hi-Fi Rushes is more of like, cool, we're doing that whole second party, first party thing where it's like, great, exactly. Let's do something like that. Let's do Helldivers 2 with Arrowhead. Let's pull in that kind of thing. Of course, they had Concrete Genie kind of thing, close up that studio because that's not what they want from a owned and operated first party. You get the smaller tasty things from these other smaller studios you partner with, or something like, you know, what they were doing already with, when I talk about the partnerships, when I'm looking and just getting to Housemarque, you then buy them, but then Returnal's a smaller project, but it's not small. It's you know, a push and pull or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Very interesting times. Story number 4. Hyena's closed beta test announced a new gameplay trailer release. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. Sega has announced a closed beta test for Hyena's on PC alongside the release of a new gameplay trailer, which is viewable below. Steam players can register now for a chance to access the beta, which will run from August 31st until September 11th. Announced last June, Hyena's is a robbery and extraction shooter by Creative Assembly. And on August
16th, you're going to tell me a game called Hyena's got announced last June?
Yeah,
I saw this on the Slack. I was like, oh, they announced a brand new game. I've heard of this game before.
I was literally about to say, Greg, and on August 16th, 2023, everyone here at Kind of Funny learned about Hyena's for the very
first time. This is some shit that I got. This is the Mandela effect. This didn't actually get announced. Somebody's fucking with time right now, and this is one of the ripples we're seeing that all of a sudden, oh, this thing? You don't remember Hyena's?
It's kind of cool looking, right? Like, I'm always a fan of the low G, zero G, I'm not sure how many G's are involved.
Okay.
Type gameplay where you're floating around shooting. But yeah, I mean,
I've just been saying, give me an extraction shooter. I could go for an extraction shooter. Why is no one making extraction shooters that all look exactly the fucking same? I've just been saying, this is an untapped market that clearly won't be shut down in 6 to 8 months.
Here's the thing though, Greg, and I understand you're right. You're making very, very salient points here.
Because it's got all the best parts of Lawbreakers in it.
But we played Foam Stars at Summer Game Fest.
We did.
And we were like, yeah.
It's not an extraction shooter.
You know, I know, but I'm getting the same vibes of we look at that.
All right, that's dope as fuck. Can you rewind that? They're using the Sega Genesis as a C4 bomb? All right, hold on a second. Hold on a second, everybody.
He's stealing Sonic. Don't let him steal Sonic.
They blew the cartridge before they set it up as a bomb? Hold up a second, ladies and gentlemen. God.
But I think the thing that they're stealing is a Sonic statue.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, they were running. Yeah, they had the Atari stuff in there. Wait a second, ladies and gentlemen. Do we have a contender for Extraction Shooter of the Year?
Nazu UK says, I played this in the alpha. It's not very good.
God fucking damn it. All right, back to the garbage.
Wow, that took some turns.
You know, the video game industry.
Yeah. Yeah, when Bless,
this is huge. Let's get working on it. We won't have a playable prototype for a year. No big deal. A year and it's all right. It's pretty good. Let's get, and the trend is just ripped away. It's just gone.
It's just gone.
And then the writing's on the wall that nobody wants. It's like, fuck, we've come this far.
Yeah.
Put it out to die.
So let me tell you a little bit more about this, Greg.
It's, you're still talking about Hades. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's these five teams of three battling AI and each other to steal pop culture memorabilia from expansive themed plunder ships with zero G sections. I'm happy that the amount of G's has been clarified. The closed beta will feature eight specialists, including newcomers. How's the newcomers? Aren't they all newcomers? Or are they talking about in-universe newcomers? I don't like that.
Well, no, because they've already done...
like a beta.
Yeah, I remember the guy in the chat already played
gotcha,
it.
So
yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay, cool. Including newcomers Mosey, the OG hyena, and rock and roll roadie Digits, Sega said. They'll join Ballerina Prima, Astronaut Commander Wright, Super Speedy Cosplayer Hero Kai, Sniper L. Silbon, Gamer Doc Hotfix, and Defense Connoisseur Drag Queen Galaxia as they dive into zero-G action across the massive plunder ship Earth Vintage. Hyenas will also be publicly available to play for the first time from August 23rd to 27th at Gamescom. The game is scheduled to release for everything except Switch in 2023.
There's a great exchange in the chat where, you know, the one guy said, I played it, I didn't like it. And then, oh, shit, it's going to go away before I get there. There was a guy who said, well, that's only one person's opinion. Another guy popped up and said, I played it too, and I agree. All right, well, it's only two people's opinion.
Yeah, love to see it. Story number five.
We're not going to beat Hyenas up more?
I don't know that we need to.
You know? I wish him the best, and I hope it all works out for you. But, man. And again, like, you know, I know I'm Greg the Sony Pony. Imagine PlayStation. Looking at the negative 10 hype for Hyenas and be like, oh, fuck, how many of these do we have in the live service hopper we're making right now?
A lot of Hyenas.
Fucking fair games. Ah, shit, fuck.
Yeah.
Good luck to everybody.
Good luck to everybody.
Go get them.
Story number five. PlayStation.
Meanwhile, Plus. I'm sure Embracer's looking at all this news. You know what? Green light, 20 more.
20 more.
One of these will hit.
One
of these will be an industry-changing $2 billion deal. This will save it all.
PlayStation Plus looks to add classic Tekken and Soul Calibur games. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. The Taiwanese ratings board has seemingly revealed the identity of two upcoming PlayStation Plus Classics titles. As spotted by Gamatsu, the country's classification body has rated Bandai Namco Fighters Tekken 6 and Soul Calibur Broken Destiny for PS5 and PS4. The former was released for PS3, 360, and PSP in 2009, while the latter was released for Sony's handheld in the same year. It's assumed that the new ratings mean the games will be released as part of the PlayStation Plus Classics catalog. This library of games, which includes hundreds of titles from the original PlayStation, PS2, PS3, and PSP, is available to PlayStation Plus premium subscribers. Interesting.
Cool.
This to me is more game preservation stuff than it is actual interest in playing the games.
Sure.
Like, I feel like a lot of the PSP games aren't... I don't even want to say aren't going to age well. They're just not going to translate well to a PS5, yeah, right? Yeah. I think that's just an inherent problem of the way
the PSP was.
The PSP with the nub and just the lack of shoulder buttons and all of that, where we've seen it before. Like, I feel like those games need a little bit more love to be able to translate correctly. The DS has a similar issue with the touchscreen and the two screens and all of that stuff of trying to find ways to port those games. It takes a little bit more love and care as opposed to just, oh, hey, here, play it, and oh, there's going to be issues you have to deal with. But I still think that it's important and cool that they are available. And, you know, PlayStation Plus going back into its classics library of what they can even add. I mean, there's only so many things that can.
Yeah.
You know?
What's more interesting about this is I forget what movie we were watching recently and somebody pulled out a Vita and started, oh, Grey's Anatomy. Somebody pulled out a PSP and was playing it or whatever. And it's just like, and I stick with me because this is going to sound ridiculous because we're probably in the best era, but do you at times long for what handheld gaming was? Right now, Switch is fucking awesome. You're playing Zelda on it, Steam Deck, Raj Ally. You're playing the stuff you have at home or your PC games. That's awesome and amazing and incredible, and I'm so glad we're here. But this one, whoever it was, popped out this PSP, and you're like, man, remember when you had to make less than games? You had to make games less than what you wanted to on your big boy console and put them onto this thing. And some of them were awesome and amazing, but there was like a vibe to it and yada, yada, yada.
No, Greg, not at all. And I love the PSP.
I know you do.
But why did I love the PSP? For emulation. And guess what? The Switch just does it better.
I'm not saying
it works. I was thrilled to get Super Mario World playing at almost the right frames per second on the PSP, and I just lived with it, with frame skip on and with stuff. And sure, I will treasure those memories forever. You know, being able to fast forward through Pokemon so you could skip a bunch of the grindy stuff and just fucking, like, you know, the save states and all that stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of fond memories that I have there. But then the Switch just came out, and it's just like, brilliant. Not only does it play all the new Zeldas, Mario Odyssey, and all this incredible stuff, but having all of, like, the majority of the classic games, like, I know we can still look at it and be like, where's Mario RPG? Where's XYZ? Where's all, there's always
Donkey Kong 64. Everybody's asking. Yeah.
You know, where they at, right? But it's like the majority of games are there. I hear you. Be able to play.
I hear you.
And then speaking of, like, the thing that you missed, Tim, of, like, emulation, maybe there's a handheld out there that might be the best emulation machine ever in handheld form.
Allegedly.
So, I wouldn't know about that.
So with all that, it's like, I feel like it's the best.
And I think it's just that I agree. No, there was no argument. Is this the best time? I'm not making that argument. This is not a stupid Greg stand. Mm-hmm. This is just me, I think, being nostalgic for a moment in time.
For sure.
To be on the Muni playing Peace Walker, and that's all it was, and I'm pinging hotspots as I went. You know?
Exactly. And, like, I mean, I know that it's not an argument of now versus then, because it's like, it's really not even a comparison, when the reality is you can play the majority of those old games now better than ever.
Yeah,
cool, and more comfortably and all that. But I do think that there was so many issues back then. Even when I loved those things the most, it was like, oh man, the price of memory cards is such an issue. The lack of screen brightness is such an issue. The glare problems, battery life. There was just so many issues that now just aren't issues. And I feel like
Steam Decks. Switch. Your Switch, don't get me wrong. I'm fucking going.
Hey, I'm talking about my Switch, baby. But the bigger thing for me is, looking back, and people give me shit for this, but we have a show called Shitlist, so you can get on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
And you should.
It's always funny to me when we start looking at lists for PSP or Game Boy, a lot of these, the handheld things. Like, last week, we did a IGN top list for the best Game Boy and Game Boy Color games, Greg.
Yeah.
IGN, when it does console lists, right, what does it do? The top blank games of the PS2, of the GameCube, of PS3, what's that number?
100, 50, 25.
25. It's 25 per console, right? You know this, Greg.
I mean, IGN does a lot of lists.
I know it does a lot of lists. IGN. Top PS3 games, it's 25, okay, right? Yeah, that's their format.
Yeah.
They did 16.
Yeah, see, that's, yeah, that.
They did 16.
Yeah.
And looking at the list, it's like, here we go. You know what I mean? We're just dealing with, like, a level of quality, because, like you were saying, like, it had to be brought down a bit. So there are, of course, shining star examples of amazing video games that are on these portable consoles back in the day. But, like, it's all relative, Greg.
It is all relative.
It's all relative. I want to add one more news story to this. All right? I put this. I saw this last night.
Breaking news.
All right, real quick. I'm gonna put it on the dock for you, Barrett, okay? Once I get back to where that dock is. Here it is. I'm going to put it right here. Boom. Nintendo of Europe tweeted promoting Super Mario Bros. Wonder yesterday.
Wahoo!
All right. We're getting closer and closer to this thing. Coming out October 20th. I imagine that we are weeks away from a Nintendo Direct of some sort, whether it is a big one or just, hey, here's an update on what the rest of the fall looks like. We'll have to wait and see. There's been a Nintendo Direct every September during the Switch's life cycle,
sure,
with the exception being 2020, which we all understand what happened there.
There was COVID, guys.
There's one thing that I am being a little alarmist here. Just want everyone to understand that. Mm-hmm. But your boy's alarmed.
Sure.
Can you read this for me, Greg?
Adventures are more fun with friends. Team up locally in 4-player co-op to complete courses in Super Mario Bros. Wonder, arriving on Nintendo Switch October 20th. Watch the full trailer.
At first glance, you're like, oh, this sounds great. I can't wait for this. This game looks awesome. The more I look at it, the more I'm like, wow, this really does look cool.
Game looks great.
Something different. But then I started looking at this more. I'm like, team up locally in 4-player.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Huh?
Doesn't just say team up in 4-player co-op, which would imply online as well.
Yeah.
Then I start thinking, I'm like, there's no way.
Throw up
there's
the
no
WNDs.
Possible way that
Nintendo decision
could put out a Mario game, a 4-player. That's the point of this game. There are multiple characters on the posters, on the box art, on every piece of gameplay. Every single fucking piece of gameplay shown has more than one player.
Sure. Yeah.
In this trailer,
Multiplayer, a big part of this.
Right?
That local four-player multiplayer, big deal.
There's no way that in 2023 Nintendo would be like, oh, we're not going to have online for this. We're not going to allow
Really?
That. There's just no
way. Have you not looked at Nintendo?
But then I look back and I'm like, all right, cool. They put out New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. And it's like, well, of course they're going to add online multiplayer. They didn't. Greg.
No.
Baffled me. They put out Mario 3D World. Did it have online? Yes. Yes, it did.
Okay.
It did, Greg.
Yeah.
How the fuck are you going to put out Mario 3D World with online play? Four player. And not this?
Remember when they had their soccer game, which is all about multiplayer, and you know they set it up to make it impossible to just have four of your friends be on a team together and play four random people?
I'm fucking baffled, Greg.
Here's the thing you're not going to like the answer to on this one, right? And not even weird Nintendo decisions. Actually going into my Duffy of being a student of the game in interviews. A long time ago, there used to be like a Lego game. Every fucking year, right? It was a staple of E3. Is it Lego Batman, Lego Marvel, Lego Harry Potter, Lego whatever? And at some point, people begged and begged and begged, and they in TT Games put in online. They had it for a couple games. Then they took it out and stopped putting in the game. And during an E3 demo, I think it was me, but maybe somebody else, doesn't matter. Someone from the press asked, like, yo, what's up with that? Again, yo today. I don't know. Can I get a yo count chat at some point? Maybe somebody later tweet at me.
7.
Thank you. It's got to be higher than that. Those are rookie numbers. Let's pump them up. Asked what's up with the lack of multiplayer or online multiplayer, and I remember Arthur Parsons from TT Games, he's no longer there anymore, still alive, not there though. He was like, I understand that that's going to disappoint a group here, an audience here. The problem is we added it and it was a fraction of the amount of copies sold that actually used online. It just wasn't worth it.
I totally hear you. Yeah. I simply don't believe it for this game. There's absolutely no way that this is the right call for what this game is, how this game is being presented in 2023 in an era where this game is going to be so streamed. This game is going to be played by so many people. There's going to be so many content creators that Nintendo uses and cares about for marketing their games that would want to play together that are not going to be able to do that. So many people are going to be playing this game not how Nintendo's intending, because they're just going to play single player because that's what they have.
Sure.
Where so many, like, I don't even know what the right word is. I'm just going to say adults want to play this game with people, but the way they play games with people is online. It's different than the Lego games.
I'm not saying this is apples. I'm just trying to present maybe
totally
one thing.
I feel, and again, this isn't confirmation that it's not here. I honestly, and there's going to be fucking egg all over my face, and I hope that it's scrambled. Okay, Greg?
Scrambled egg.
Okay. I love scrambled eggs. I love all eggs.
I like a sunny side up egg.
It's way
too complicated of a day, but we should go to the diner. We can't because there's too much shit going on.
Yeah. I'm still hopeful there's going to be online in this game. There's I'm hopeful chance. That this Nintendo Europe tweet is just...
They're calling out one very specific section of it, right?
Yeah.
Is the when you go to the product page and all that jazz on Nintendo.com, there's nothing in there about online. Not like calling out online, but not like an asterisk talking about like Nintendo subscription required for some kind of garbage.
No idea.
Might be the way around it.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing too is like I do. So you can take away from the Lego thing and maybe they saw something on the last Mario game that had it and not enough people used it. Then there also is the idea that.
Sorry, it wasn't last though. Like, if I don't even remember the exact cadence of this, and maybe it was last, but it's a different style of game.
I know. I'm aware of that. Yeah. I know.
So I don't think it was them looking at Mario 3D World and be like, oh, not enough people use this, so we're doing this. Like, I think it's more like, why aren't there 2D Mario games? And Mario Maker, I'm pretty sure, had it. Sorry.
Back to my point, though, of this is I think Nintendo is one of those companies that is, like, not rare, but they do have a vision for what their product is. And they are very always, you know, the Switch is great because it is. Oh, you just have the Switch, pop off the Joy-Cons. Now you have two controllers rather than one. Da, 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 da. Like, for them, the Switch is a, hey, everybody gather around the Switch, gather around the TV, let's play together, and let's have that couch co-op time, and let's do that thing. And this is a game, and I'm not trying to insult anybody because I'm not, it looks great, don't get me wrong, but I think this is a game that is aimed at, like, cool, play, all ages of players can play this, and it is great for the kid who has it to put it on the screen and dad, mom, and little sister all play together and do that kind of thing.
Yeah, I just think I get really defensive over Nintendo's 2D output when it comes to things like this, because there was like a big conversation about is this AAA, is it not AAA? This is AAA, people. This is a fucking AAA game. This game is going to sell so ridiculously well. And that's what bothers me about this, is a game that is going to sell tens of millions of copies out there. I feel the not having something like online is going to limit its potential for classic future status of like people like now, the amount of times that this specific thing has affected me where I'm like, oh, I want to play Mario. I want to do a four player thing with the Jabroni boys playing through New Super Mario Bros. U.
Yeah.
The amount of times I just like go to do that expecting online's going to work and, like, and then being reminded it doesn't.
Bear bringing up Strikers where that was the thing at launch. They were all going to go on and play and they couldn't do it.
I mean, exactly. There's expectations there that should be met. The difference is Strikers has a cap of what? A couple million it could sell. These are games that sell so much. These are flagship Nintendo titles that years down the line, people are going to remember like, I can't believe it didn't have fucking online. They're going to be salted about this stuff. And I know I'm talking about like a smaller group of people, but we're talking about a small percentage of tens of millions. At some point, that percentage is sizable enough that it's like, this is a problem. This is really not good for what is a AAA Mario title that focuses on multiplayer. A 2D fucking side scroller.
Tim?
Yes.
You accidentally stumbled in to a reader mail question.
Oh.
Pizza Bagel wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD for free, just like you can, and says, do you think Super Mario Wonder can impress in a post-Mario Maker and Celeste world? There hasn't been a 2D Mario game since the release of Mario Maker 1 or 2 or Celeste. With people creating so many crazy levels from Kazo to puzzle rooms and more, or Celeste's incredible level design with crazy challenges for 100% completion, I really have to wonder if Super Mario Wonder is capable of pleasing a more hardcore audience. I'm sure it will do fine casually, but do you think that this team has the stuff to deliver something that will be as challenging or as creative as Mario Maker and Celeste are?
This is a wonderful question.
Great job, Pizza Bagel.
No pun intended there. This is my Starfield.
This is your Starfield?
It is.
Wow.
I've been waiting for a new 2D Mario, Greg, for 10 years.
You have talked about that.
I've talked about this so much, and there's a lot riding on it. And in those 10 years, Celeste has come out.
Yep.
And many, many, many other amazing 2D platformers have come out. They've changed the game. They've changed expectations. What Mario is, what Mario can be, is in question, I think, of like, can it go above and beyond this stuff? And I'm not sure the answer is yes. At the same time, can this team pull it off? Oh yeah, they can. I've seen them do it time and time and time again. I am not sold enough on the art style of this game being different enough that immediately I'm like, oh wow, there's a vision here that I'm looking at this and I totally get that it's going to be the freshest, newest thing for Mario that I did expect back in the day, that they did deliver on back in the day until they didn't. And I always talk about how New Super Mario Bros. Wii U gets so underloved just because people write it off because of how it looks and because of the vision of that game, despite it having some of the best level design, best bosses, fights, best world maps, everything about that game. There's some of the best in Mario, period. But it just feels generic. It just feels like more Mario in a bad way, not more Mario in a great way.
Sure.
And I don't know. I don't know what they can do, if they like, how it's going to come together. I rewatched the trailer last night, though, to really look at it with that question in my mind. And seeing a lot of the things, a bit more of the collect-a-thon in 2D form, a little bit more of the Mario 64 experience in a 2D way, where the there's like purple shards everywhere, the abilities they're using, it looks like it's a little more inspired by Yoshi's Island. That's what I probably should be saying. A Yoshi's Island style game with Mario. I'm starting to see the magic here. I'm starting to buy into the potential of this game in a way that I didn't when I first saw the Nintendo Direct where they announced it.
Okay.
Will it be better than Celeste? I firmly think no.
Celeste, I mean, come on.
Will this do something important for Mario? I'm very hopeful the answer is yes.
Okay. We'll wait and see.
But Greg.
Yeah.
Mario Wonder coming out. It's just so far away. If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop Shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do 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 yeah.
Today we have En Garde on PC, City of Murals on PC, Construction Machine Simulator 2023 Hard Truck Work Job on PS4 and PS5, Ship Graveyard Simulator 2 on PC, The Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood on PC.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
New dates for you.
It's Podcast Beyond, oh my God.
We have TMNT Shredder's Revenge Dimension Shell Shock DLC available August 31st. I need to look back into what exactly that is, because I'm in a little turtle mood, Greg. Mutant Mayhem got
turtle
me
Luna feeling the vibe.
I know you didn't see it in theaters. I know you're not going to see it.
I'm excited to see it eventually.
Is Ben theater ready yet?
No.
Okay.
Ben has no attention span. Damn. Yeah, so no, he can't sit there and watch a movie. He'd be up and
moving. Gotcha. I can't wait for it to come, though, to Peacock.
For sure for that, right? Yeah, we're...
Paramount Plus, probably.
I guess, you know, we haven't tried a theater. He'll sit on the couch and watch, but it would be one of those things, if he sat down to watch Ninja Turtles and it didn't immediately get him, he'd be up and want to do something else. And
gotcha.
He'd start saying, skip.
Yeah.
Skip, because we taught him he could skip stuff, so that's a problem.
That's really funny.
Yeah. But I was Jen was telling me that she talked to Max Scoville's wife, Jen, and that they took their kid to a movie, and she was great all the way at Ninja Turtles, great until like the last 10 minutes that she wanted to move around. So and they're, I forget, like 6 months ahead of us, maybe.
I'm excited for your thoughts on it, though.
Sure.
Like I'm excited
the same
how,
way.
How this one hits.
Skip! You know, I'll be like, skip it!
Curse Crackers, For Whom the Bell Tolls, is coming to Nintendo Switch on August 24th. Tiny Witch is coming to PC on September
1st. How small is that witch?
As small as Watto? We don't know.
Yeah,
Broken Edge is coming to PSVR 2 on September 19th, Kevin's mom's birthday. Symphony of War continues the heroic journey in Legends DLC, launching August 28th. The Making of Karateka Interactive Documentary. Is coming August 29th on Steam, GOG, Epic, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S. What could that be?
Find me the trailer.
An interactive documentary. Very interesting.
What's it called?
It is called The Making of Karateka. Karateka. Well, he does that. Fascinated Jack says, I only think of the Podcast Beyond version of Wheel in the Sky.
Thank you very much. The first song that ever ended a Podcast Beyond. I sang it just like I just did. That's all we had. Then we ended.
So before Prince of Persia, there was Karateka. Oh, Gary Whitta! What the fuck?
Yeah, there's some documentary, right? This is the
documentary. Interactive.
It says like it's an interactive one.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can like play some of the level. Yeah. See.
I just lost my shit. I was like, I got so excited.
Gary Whitta's a big
deal. Our guy. Really interesting. God, I can't wait for Prince of Persia next year. Let's go, everybody.
No, yeah, next year. Though.
All right, cool.
Now, you see this, and it looks cool, but remember, of course, the old game's old, you know?
I want to punch you in the dick.
Just be erasing old games from history. We don't need them.
This week's host. Tomorrow, we have me and Bless, and on Friday, we have me and Bless. And then after the KFGD post show, the crew is going to play Street Fighter 6 with Blessing and Idom. That's pretty damn exciting.
Yeah.
This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we get together. We do some cool stuff.
I'm
going to walk away to take a phone call.
Can you do that?
Stuff?
I got this. Go do your thing. Jesus, man. You know what I mean, Mike? Sometimes Tim just gets these big business calls. Big old Steve Jobs calling from beyond the grave saying, I know where the bodies are,
Jesus.
And I'll get you.
Fucking Waz, bro. We were talking about the Waz yesterday.
I did not mention Waz. You know, I saw him once at the airport.
You saw the Waz.
I'll save that for the KFGD post. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, we ask you watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to write in and tell us what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we could set the record straight. Sega Game Gear wrote in and said, the IGN top Game Boy list did not include Game Boy Color games. They considered a successor to the original Game Boy and did not include exclusives like Pokemon Gold and Silver and Zelda Oracle of Ages and Seasons on the list. Brian and Shycon give us context that I was asking for the old Super Mario Wonder. The Nintendo website only lists the number of players, single system, 1-4, no online. Seeing many online outlets confirming this, the game supports Save Data Cloud. And then Shycon's was, there's an asterisk on locally on the site saying additional accessories for multiplayer may be required. The only Nintendo Switch online mention on the website is needing to activate a subscription for the game vouchers to work. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Take it to the bank. No online multiplayer in Super Mario Wonder. Not confirmed, but all but confirmed.
Tough.
Who cares? You know what I mean?
Like, I care.
You don't.
I want to play Mario games.
No, you don't. Yeah,
but also, you're going to want to play it with the Jabroni Boys, which you're probably going to do here on this set anyway, locally.
That is true.
Yeah, so it does not affect you whatsoever, Mike.
Tim already ran you through the host. I already told you the stream's coming up today, and Idom, Bless, are going to be playing some cool stuff. And then, of course, we're about to do that KFGD post show where we go through the YouTube super chats and resubs in Twitch and say, hey, what's going on? And we talk about it and have a great time. So, This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, each and every weekday we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. If you really like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you could watch us ad-free as an MP3 and video on demand, and then you could watch all the other podcasts record live and as ad-free as we record them. Then, of course, get them ad-free on demand, YouTube, or the podcast, and then as the video. And then, of course, you could also get cool merch. There's a cool Trog shirt up there. It's very nice. Of course, there's more than 300 episodes of exclusive content since we launched the studio up right now. That doesn't even talk about the years and years and years and years and years of the other exclusive content we had up. I digress. No bucks toss our way. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, and of course, or Kinda Funny Games, and podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we got a post show to do right now. So it's been our pleasure to serve you.
I'll give you that. Yo, what the heck is going on, Kinda Funny Best Friends? It's your guy, Snowbike Mike, welcoming you to, of course, the Kinda Funny Games Daily Super Chat post show, where I join your two incredible show hosts, and we jump in with all of you watching live over on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, and, of course, over on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, and we say, hey, what's up? Y'all want to dive a little bit deeper into one of today's news stories? You want to bring up a random topic of discussion like, gosh darn it, Greg, why you look so good in that cool floral plinth? Or plinth? Okay. It was close.
I know. You were really close. I appreciate
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you just you go so hard, and then you get that last one. You're like, nope, lost it.
That's the one that was. I'll tell you what I want to talk about.
Tell me.
A tweet I just put in Assets, Baird.
Put a little tweet up
there, all right? This is breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. A breaking announcement about me and Snowbike Mike, Vampire Survivors tweets.
Yep.
Tomorrow we're launching Vampire Survivors Couch Co-op. Kinda Funny's Greg and Mike will be slaying on our Steam page August 17th at 5:30 p.m. BST, 9:30 a.m. PT. Tune in for absolute chaos. Ladies and gentlemen, we are excited to announce this partnership and great art they made of us.
Incredible art.
The idea here is that, yeah, two hours stream tomorrow on the official Vampire Survivors Steam page. We're streaming straight to their Steam page.
Yep.
And then when we're done there, 2 hours here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, because I love Vampire Survivors. This is sponsored, of course, but you've heard me talk about it before.
No, this is super exciting. This is what we've been waiting for.
Couch co-op,
the idea with all of us together. I know the best friends have tweeted at me many of times of like, put it on the schedule.
Yeah.
It's like, Greg's already on it.
I'm on it.
Like, Greg's,
so yeah, we're
going
to have,
making deal.
It'll be me and Mike tomorrow rocking controllers. We'll have two open ones so people can come and go and join us and get clowned out, because Nick will get mad, obviously, real quick.
I'm excited. How me far too. Do you think we'll go?
Credits.
You want me to hit up Gary Whitta? Because when I first pitched this, you're like, we don't need Gary Whitta. You want me to hit him up? You got two extra controllers sitting there. We could hit him up. You're thinking about it.
I am thinking about it because, you know, Gary loves Vampire Survivors more than anybody.
I know. And the last time I brought up Gary Whitta, you said, psh, psh. You said no.
But if we don't, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If we don't do it, we're going to get guilted by Gary Whitta about
correct.
It. He's going to be pissed off we didn't ask
him.
Mm-hmm. But if we do ask him, he's going to act like we're asking a huge favor of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's, you know, he's going to be like, it's a busy week, too.
He's off today's XCast, so we can call him that favor.
Okay.
I mean, he's off.
You know what I mean?
I mean, he's off this today's XCast because, you know, it's a busy week.
First day of school.
Yeah.
Excitement in the air. Yeah. Greg, tell me about the Waz. Yeah, let's call him up. You want to call him right now? Let's call up Gary Whitta right now,
Mike,
of course.
Have you been thinking the entire time Greg's been talking about Scott the Waz?
Oh, man, I like Scott the Waz. You know that, Baird? He makes some good videos. He makes some enjoyable videos, that jabroni. And he also talks about some weird games where I'm like, man, what kind of nerd is playing on that Nintendo DS?
Gary? It's Greg?
Hello?
Gary, it's Greg Miller. You're live on Kinda Funny Games Daily. How are you?
Yeah, I had a feeling I'd be live. What's going on?
No, we're talking. We just announced that we're doing this sponsored Vampire Survivors stream tomorrow. 2 hours on their Steam page, 2 hours on our Twitch and YouTube page. And Mike said we should invite you. And I don't want to put it on you. I don't want to put you out. But I also don't want you to be mad that we didn't invite you. So I'm inviting you right now if you want to come play with me and Mike tomorrow.
I appreciate that. What time is it?
Call time would be like 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we go live at 9:30, and then we'll be live there for 2 hours, and then it's 2 hours on our pages starting at 11:30. So really, whenever you wanted to come through with a wrap of being 1:30, but if you wanted to come by just for part of it, just for 30 minutes and pop in and play, we'd make room for you.
Sorry, what time did you say it starts?
We're starting at 9:30, and we'll go through 1:30, and you can come whenever you want to and leave whenever you want to, because me and Mike got it.
Yeah, okay, I might be able to do something.
All right, cool. Then hopefully we'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
All right, bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Just that easy.
It's that easy, guys. That's how you make content here.
I thought he would have been a little more excited about it. Like, dang, Greg, you're playing my favorite game.
Gary doesn't
like,
get
let's
excited.
Get breakfast.
Gary
let's DoorDash breakfast. Let's go big. Should we get some breakfast?
Oh, there's no way he's going to come in right that early, though.
Think about it.
I'm thinking hard.
Gary Whitta wakes up at 5:30 every day, so he's already up.
It's the first week of school, Mike.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah, but you put the little one on the bus, and then bang, what does he do till 2:30?
Yeah, no, he's like, Whittles I can't do any thumb. Work. It's first day of school. Like, what is he? Exactly. You're like, he picked up on the first ring. You know what I mean? Like, that guy's not busy.
Yeah, very awkwardly, too. It's like in his pocket or something. He's like breathing heavily into the phone.
Oh, like, you really have anything to say there? Any shit to give with breathing heavy into a microphone?
What my friends get mad at me is I talk to them, but I'm also scrolling TikTok at the same time. So all they hear is my finger doing this nonstop. Yeah, and they're like, what in God's name are you doing, Mike? Yeah. Greg, of course, that's big and exciting news. That'll be my first time ever streaming to a Steam page.
Me too.
That's pretty exciting stuff. I think that's going to be cool and out there and different. So, of course, all the Kind of Funny Best Friends, if you want to come join us, please come have some fun with us tomorrow. That will be an awesome stream and a great way to celebrate Couch Co-op coming to a dope game. But, Greg, let's talk about it. Tell me about the Woz when you met
the
Woz.
So I went to, this is a dated reference, I think. So I might get some of it wrong.
Okay.
Chat, you're free to correct me. Mm-hmm. I went to a street festival in San Francisco.
Okay.
I want to say it wasn't Half Moon Bay Pumpkin Fest. It was something in the sunset.
Okay.
And we were walking and I passed a guy and I was like, Jen, I think that was Steve Wozniak.
That's the Woz.
And she was like, what? And I was like, but he was gone already. And I was like, I wouldn't have bothered him yet. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, it's that thing where you're like 85%, I think that was Steve Wozniak. Yeah, yeah. And then literally 2 days later, I was at SFO. And going into the United Lounge was Steve Wozniak, which proved that I was wrong. There was the 15% of the street fair. I was wrong. It wasn't Steve at the street fair. But at the United Club, it was, in fact, Steve Wozniak. And I didn't say anything there either because I was like,
dang.
What are you going to say? Hey, great job. You know what I mean? But I was like, that's the Woz right there.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that, Greg. I like that. Of course, as we jump into today's post-show Super Chat section, I have a number of Super Chats coming in from the Kind of Funny Best Friends. They're gassed up to talk with you.
They better be, man.
Tim will come back after his big business deal.
I'll believe it.
Greg, I got to give you a hot diamond update. Of course, welcome back, Kind of Funny Best Friends. It's Wednesday, which means it's time to take you to the diamond because your boy Snowbike Mike and one blessing out of Yo-Yay Jr., went back to co-ed softball. And I'll tell you what, last night, Greg Miller, week four, the best cohesion of the team yet.
Wow.
Everybody was gelling. The vibes were right. The mood was set early. And let me tell you what, I'm happy to report that we got our first win.
Woo!
As a team. We won before, but that team only had six players on it, and I played on the other team. But this is the first official team versus team win, and get this, against the best team in the league, they're undefeated. We handed them their first loss. Now, let me tell you what.
Crushing
them. Captain Jingle, Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
Yep.
Jabroni still. But you know what? He's trying his best. Try to get everybody to dress up in jerseys. Hey, bring your favorite team jersey.
Bring your favorite player. Okay.
And then I said to myself, well, where's my jersey? Aren't we supposed to be given team jerseys? Jacob, my jersey, Jabroni? I paid money for a t-shirt, so we all had the same jerseys. Why don't we wear our jerseys to the game? But it doesn't matter, because I got a dope Crash Team Rumble jersey, so I wore that.
Okay, great. That worked out.
So we show up last night, Greg. Great mood. Everybody's talking. We're high-fiving. We're dapping it up. We're having a good time, right? But the fog is blowing in. And I'll tell you what, Greg, I have never played a baseball game where if someone cranks one to the outfield, you might not be able to see the ball coming at you.
Wow.
And it was a very interesting vibe of like, oh, man,
how are you?
So good. Yeah. He likes to wear a lot of tight clothing. So it's
fast.
Like,
it makes him faster.
It makes him faster, but also like shows off the bod.
Sure.
And like, I think the chicks dig it, but Blessing has like this weird look. He shows up to the game, jeans and a little quarter zip. So he looks like a tech bro.
Okay.
And then he strips out of the jeans and quarter zip to nothing but tight running clothes.
Nice.
And you're like, oh, this guy's going to take off, right? I will say, homeboy looking very good with, of course, his red batting gloves I recommended him buy.
Does anybody have photos of this? I got to see this look.
We got to get some looks going. I'll get some photos next time. Blessing played very well. Unfortunately, didn't get the memo like your boy Snowbike Mike. When you play on a team of 12, sometimes in this case, 14 people, and you could only have 10 out on the field, guess what happens to a couple jabronis?
Ride the bench.
You got to ride the bench or sub.
Join the other team.
What's the rule? Don't ever fucking sub because then you lose the flow, Greg. You know what I mean? You only get four at-bats, maybe three with 12 people, and then you also only get to play so many innings. So guess what? You don't sub, ever. Right. So what did I do every single time? Grabbed my mitt, and I just started running to the outfield before anyone could say anything.
Sure.
Because I know better. I'm not riding the pine. I'm not missing out on an opportunity for the ball to come to me.
Like, man, it doesn't. I don't know if this would be fun to play with Mike. You know what I mean?
Greg, I set the tone
team
early.
The player would be like understanding this is just co-ed softball for nothing. So why not let other people go out there and catch the
ball?
How am
I supposed to get my ESPN top play if I suck out the ball comes to you?
Was there an ESPN drone there?
Last week, I had ESPN top plays. People were talking about it. Blessing will tell you. But here's the deal. The captain... has to now organize that, right? He's supposed to be the one of like, hey, everybody in the outfield, you're going to move to the left one and we'll sub somebody in so it's fair, right? Poor Blessing out there missed 3.5 innings. We played 5 total. Kid got out there twice. That's on the captain. You know what I mean? That's on
the captain.
But also,
that would get me excited.
At the same time, you're just running out there before anybody can say anything. So like, how is the captain supposed to
be? That would get me excited because I could just come out and be designated hitter. You know what I mean?
Oh, you want to be a little DH right there.
Okay.
What do you got?
Yeah, I want to be big Frank Thomas out there.
I like that. I love that. You think you could rip one?
Come on. Yeah,
he's got that leg strength.
Maybe next season we all can make a kind of funny team. No, you and Jen join.
No. What are we going to do?
Ben.
What are we
Ben's
do
in
ben?
The Ben's in the dugout having fun.
Keep, don't make promises you can't keep.
Everybody loves that. I grew up on the softball field with my parents. You and Jen. Great opportunity for Ben. You go to a softball game. He gets a little lost out in the woods with his friends. He comes back. Bang, it's a great time.
Bang.
Bang, ladies and gentlemen. That's your diamond update. I played well. Not my best, but I played well. Happy with my performance. Went 3-for-4. Drove in a run. But nothing big. Try to go opposite. I'm always trying to go oppo every time now. So, you know, I'm still shifting my hips. Waiting on it just a little extra longer than you're supposed to, right? Okay. To try to drive it over the third baseline since I'm left-handed. And it was all right. I didn't play how much I wanted to play, but that's all right, though. I'm pleased with it.
Okay. And my update, Mike did not ask me off-camera, off-content, if I wanted to join.
Yes.
So but, there's Bear, my update they was this week.
Barrett will have to now join the soccer team that we play next.
Nice.
We're going to join
that's
a soccer
that's not the
league.
Sport that and you and I bond over, Mike.
I am going to crush soccer. I'm very excited about it. But that is your diamond update. Let's jump in to your super chats. Of course, Kind of Funny Best Friends, you can get involved watching over on YouTube and or Twitch with the new super chat feature or the hype chat feature over on Twitch. Of course, if you resubscribe to the tier 1-3 level, I'll give you a call out. Just my good friend, JB Baker, who has become a member over on YouTube. Thank you so much for becoming a member.
JB, JD,
Macho,
Mr. Baker,
X3, Dusty writes Baker. In with a super chat and says, I know it's an exclusive, but do you guys think we will ever get Starfield on PS5? If so, when do you think it would happen?
No.
Great answer.
You're not getting that. You're not getting that. Am I wrong?
No.
Xbox me?
There's no way. I don't think there's any way that one of the biggest games of the generation that I would work this out, right? Like, the goal is to drive you over to my platform, join the ecosystem, whether it be cloud streaming, on PC, on console. That is the whole goal of this deal, whether it be Bethesda or the Activision Blizzard King, is to get these big, unique games, make them exclusive, make you come over to my console and be a part of that, right? Call of Duty's a little bit different, but I'll tell you what, no, not on that
not
one.
Happening.
Not on your best day. CJ writes in and says, is it me or would Sweet Tooth make for a great MK1 DLC character? He'd be pretty rad.
He'd be a great character. We're talking about just in the game, right? Moves, the machete, stuff like that, has his car and stuff. I don't think he has the profile. You know, I mean, if Twisted Metal, I know it did well. If it continues its success and grows that way, then maybe, yeah, sure. But right now, I don't think he's got
the
profile.
They'd be adding some random jabronis in there. I think he's got the profile. I think he'd be cool enough.
But then he also pissed off Xbox. You got to let Peacock get bigger, where you can watch This Is Awesome, of course.
Man, I'll tell you what, the latest This Is Awesome is a ton of fun. If you're not watching Peacock and This Is Awesome, what are you doing with your life, jabroni? Watch it all the time with my guy, Kevin A. Sex.
I know you do.
It's must-watch viewing. Friday, right before the big pay-per-view match, I tell him, put it on, let's watch it, let's get lost. Can't wait. Excited about the next one?
Yeah.
Can you tease us on the next one?
I did in the show. But maybe you didn't watch all the way to the end, huh?
Didn't watch it, tell me.
Returns.
I love that. See, I'm just trying to make sure people know. I got to get people excited just like me. Brendan Post writes in and says, Tim, have you ever tried emulation on the analog pocket with the cores taking advantage of the FPGA chip? Just about anything up to 16-bit runs flawlessly. Well, we'll answer for Tim.
I'm a
nerd. I don't know what emulation is.
Gio, wipe my booty. Help me. I pooped my pants again. I'm too.
Come on. Play on a real console, Tim. Throw that goddamn analog pocket in the trash. All right, let's keep it going. Joshua writes in and says, Greg, I miss the old days of handhelds. Reminds me of how Nintendo values the magic devs can make with their limitations. When devs made things work on lesser hardware, it was incredible to see it work.
Yeah. We're talking about, like, obviously we're in the golden era with your Steam, your Raj Ally.
Of course. You got everything. Yeah.
Your Switch. But I was like, do you ever get nostalgic for it is what I ended up quoting it on. Because like I was watching a show and they busted out a PSP and I was like, oh, man. Remember that when that was the way you did it? You had your UMDs there, you popped them in.
God, those were crazy.
They were crazy. Those they were universal.
Like so cool.
Universal Media Disc. They worked with anything. That was in the name, you know?
Those are some cool stuff.
Yeah, were some
cool stuff. I mean, back in the day, you had the Game Boy Pocket I was playing on. Then you got into those Game Boy Advance, right? The PSP, the Vita. I mean, I'm enjoying it that we still have handhelds to this day, right? The Switch.
Oh, my God. It's way better than now.
Yeah. Steam Deck? Come on.
Yeah.
Steam Deck with games? Killer. Love that
alleged games. Alleged games.
Games? Who loves them? Let's keep it going right there with...
Do you think we'll ever get... I know we're getting Project Q. Do you think we'll ever get a portable PlayStation 5? Is that something they're going to look into? That they're like, all right, you know what? We shrunk the PS5 to whatever, so now you can kind of have this thing.
Like another Vita, essentially?
Well, more like a Switch, right? But even that, I'm thinking like a Nomad, really, where it's like PS5's hype's done. We're on the verge of PS6, but they're able to do those.
If anyone outside of Nintendo is to do it, meaning Xbox or PlayStation, it's definitely them.
PlayStation,
it seems like Xbox doesn't want to do that, or like they're finding ways in the cloud that they can just team up with others. But yeah, PlayStation, I think, for sure, again, is the only one. And they're also doing VR headsets, so they're willing to take a loss.
Well, and I think it's also the Project Q thing. If they actually nail that, right, if that works the way they want it to.
I'm excited to see, because, I mean, you're my guy.
Yeah.
You like remote play, so I want to see what's up with this.
PlayStation, let me use the Project Q. We've asked nicely several times.
Yeah.
But now it's time we start demanding.
Let them know.
If I don't get hands-on with the Project Q, I'd be very frightened of your toilets.
Wow.
I'll hide in them. Like a ghoulie. Exactly.
Dak the Yak writes in and says, single and double A games sell millions at times. Game sales don't equate to what is triple A or double A. What makes it triple A is scope. It's double.
So one more time slower.
Single and double A games sell millions at times. Game sales don't equate to what is triple A or double A. What makes it triple A is scope. It's double.
what makes it triple A?
I don't know what.
But then its scope is double?
No, what makes it triple A is scope, period. It's double. So some game you must have been talking about is a double A game that's selling well. I think they're trying to get into like triple A is the scope of it, not the sales of it.
Yes.
So what were you talking about earlier?
I have no fucking idea. Okay. Why are you sending these things that are coded messages? Well, I don't know what.
Dak the Yak. I read these. And I want everybody to know. A lot of people go, Mike, are you okay? You can read the messages yourself over on YouTube.com. You can click on the filter, go to fan funding.
Dak Yak's write it definitely reads like a riddle.
I'm just letting you know. I read these to these jabronis, and that's how it goes. But Dak the Yak, you're good, bro.
The Conrad, did we just collectively have a stroke?
But also, you're wearing your glasses now, Mike. So
I'm wearing my glasses. I can see the chat. I can see that we all had a stroke together. But yeah, I mean, double A, triple A, single A, sell those copies.
Yeah,
make me happy. Let's have some fun. Will we ever get away from the double A, triple A, single A terminology?
Or do you think we'll always stick in? I don't think you hear about single A that often.
Isn't that just indie?
I was going to say, when you get there, that's just an indie, right?
Yeah.
And now people are pushing triple I for the bigger indies.
Triple I?
Yeah, so something like a Hades 2, right? Like,
so when does that not just become double A?
Great question.
You know what I mean? If you're going to call yourself triple I, isn't that just double A ball now?
Sure. But then you're back to this whole thing of like, all right, cool. Well, would you have called, before they got bought by PlayStation, Insomniac an independent studio? They're not an indie, right? They were an independent studio, but they were a third party. They weren't, you know what I mean? They weren't an indie studio.
Were they making double A games or triple A games?
They were making triple A games. They made some double A's, but they made some triple A's.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't call them an indie.
No, you're not going to get away from that because we'll always need to sit there and, like, you know, have some way to talk about everything we're talking about.
The levels of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
The scope.
Embracer Group is always going to be there at least for the next 8 months.
Rocking that THQ Nordic double A ball.
We got some double A games here.
I'll tell you what. Let's keep it going right now with Brandon Sanchez, who writes in and says, just beat the whole series. Janet's going to cash in with Like a Dragon Gaiden in fantasy. What's KF's experience with Yakuza? Will the new ones be covered?
Great question. My experience with Yakuza is that I reviewed a bunch at IGN. And towards the end of them, I was like, this is just the same thing. I mean, the stories are different, this, that, the other, blah, blah. And that kind of burned me out on them. And so I've tried to come back for some more of the Yakuzas. And it just ends up the same way eventually, where I'm like, all right, Kaz is doing his thing, and this is the thing. And so I've missed. Not even being hipster. I was playing them before they were cool, and then they had this giant moment with Zero and all these things where people like love them and adore them, and I get it, and it's just like, I can't do that again. The turn-based one, Like a Dragon, obviously Xbox Series launch game. I played that. I did not beat it. I did not fall in love with it the way people did, but I did enjoy what I played of it. And so then you get to the rest of the people and you find different things, right? Gary, of course, adored Like
he her. Loves them. Yeah.
If you listen to XCast, yeah, he's all about that. And then we have plenty of friends of the show who do it. But the new ones, I think you'll get touched. The period piece they just did.
Ishin,
thank you very much.
I played that one.
I played it too, and it was the same thing where I played a few hours, and then it was like some other review came along and I jumped to that. So I didn't get a lot of press here because, again, we were just like, all right, well. It's what I expect it to be.
Maybe Roger gets into it because he's
Roger's
been,
in.
Yeah, I wish I could say that, but he loves Sniper Elite too much. This kid is not.
Man, he's so into Sniper Elite. He even asked me last night.
Some say he's up there in a box right now, just watching.
Waiting. Looking forward to it.
He beat Yakuza Zero, I think, like within this last week. So, but I don't know if he wants to like go through the series proper to before like covering the new one or anything.
Talking about cashing in on fantasy. Can we talk about it for a second?
But you guys suck and PlayStation's awesome.
Just
the PSI Love
team's absolute. Just awful situation. Snowbike Mike drafts Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Clearly put BG3 on the map. I mean, I'm talking about it way before it's game time here.
Uh-huh.
And I just get slapped in the face. No, Snowbike Mike, you can't draft that. I was absolutely robbed of BG3. And I'm going to remember that. You know,
did you get it on the thing and we took it off, or could you not even do it?
No, you couldn't do it because it was early
access.
What's the
problem? Calm down.
Yeah.
It wasn't a reviewed game, and it wasn't out yet.
Early access wasn't allowed. You know that.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But
well, make up a sob story for Gary. Make up a sob story over there for Paris.
You knew Gary wasn't going to play. It's just me doing my best. I'm one man. Let's.
What I'd like to do is, if you remember, I offered Gary $50 for Starfield.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Gary doesn't log into Fantasy Critics. So every few weeks, I'll just send him a screenshot of it.
You should... offer him $50 real and he'll do it.
I don't want.
You know what I mean?
I don't.
Fake video game dollars. He's not even using those dollars.
Well, I know, but it's just for the lulz.
And like 90% of the time, you just bet $1 on the game and you get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's just how it goes. Let's jump into Gary Gutierrez writes in and says, "I get married next Thursday. Any tips, Greg?"
Well, all right, Gary, slow your goddamn roll. I'm messaging Gary Witta about.
Hey, Gary.
Said,
Gary.
Hold on, I'm gonna say vamp.
Gary, have a great time.
News.
Soak in the moments. Be in
Very
the moments.
Important.
And just like have fun. Dance a bunch.
All right, cool.
Ron Q says, say I do. That's probably.
So yeah, you're getting married. Like, yeah, nailed it. I did a Greg Way already about being a dad, but that I'm putting up today. If I should send that over now before I keep forgetting. There's too much going on today.
You got a lot going on, buddy.
There's so much going on.
You got a lot going on, buddy.
Every fucking date, this very successful company. It pisses me off. You know what I mean? When's it going to be my time
Give
to sit
this
around
man a day
goddamn
off.
Nothing? Yeah, soak it in because it'll go fast. You know what I mean? It's going to be incredible. It's going to be insane. But you got to sit there and take mental pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, talk to your partner about it. Of like, how cool is this? This is great. This is neat.
I love that.
Take photos. Do some behind-the-scenes photos. Get alone time. I'm not sure if you're doing a big wedding, a courthouse wedding, so it's kind of hard for me to really get in the weeds on it. But, like, make sure you're getting... private time with each other, be like, this is fucking insane. What a great day. You know what I mean?
I like that. Yeah. Get some like moments together.
Yeah.
Where we can look back and laugh and giggle and like be present in the moment. I like that. Get disposable cameras. I'm into that right now. Disposable cameras. But don't give one to Nick because he'll take photos of people you don't want him taking photos of. I was like, Nick, this is for you and I, and like, take a photo of Andy and Tim. Like, it's special. Next thing I know, he's taking photos of Michael Jones and Alfredo. And I was like, Tim, what? I was like, Nick, what the fuck, bro?
Why or do like that?
Nick's a problem.
Nick's a problem.
Last year, Alyssa and I, when we were finally able to celebrate our wedding out in Hawaii with her family, she got like the Insta stacks or whatever, where you just like immediately prints out your photo. That was a fun
time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, kind of funny, best friends. We have a lot to get through, so let's burn through these questions because I got two dudes burning it up on the sticks right now. I, Dom, and Blessing are ready to jump in to Street Fighter VI, one pro to another pro, going to elevate his game and take him to the next level. But we got to get through these super chats right now. Let's burn it. AJ Hawk, Barrett, but you guys too. The new art for the Arkham trilogy on Switch is dope, but is anyone going to play it? Did anyone even want it?
No.
No and no.
Yeah, no. You just put it out there. You keep trying to make your goddamn games get out everywhere they can. You might as well make the money, especially on a...
Make that money.
You got to, you know, where's the Suicide Squad? What's going on with that? But
oh, the art is really good, but also, like, stop fucking ignoring Arkham Origins, you know? But also, I can play these handheld already on my Steam Deck, so...
Again, yeah, but really not on your Switch.
Who the fuck cares?
Giant user base on the Switch, all about the money. All about the money, Benjamins. Ladies and gentlemen. Come on, man. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Make the money. All right. Ariel Knight writes in, what up? Says, what's the best airport you've been to stateside? Detroit Airport is slept on, but it's top five.
I was at the Detroit Airport, and I didn't find it remarkable.
Okay.
I'm not taking away from it, however. Yeah, yeah. You know, lots of airports just kind of run together because it's rare you find one that actually, like, this is great. Okay. Is it Atlanta that has a Buffalo Wild Wings in it?
Okay.
I like that.
BB Dubs?
Yeah. You know what
Atlanta's
I mean?
Big, too.
I'll
big
wander airport. Through. And you know what? I'm not going to take it back. I didn't find remarkable. Uh-huh. But when I was at the Detroit airport flying back, I did my, you know, I had a breakfast. I sat down. I had the two eggs and the bacon and the hash browns and the toast at a place that was one of the one. It was one of the... I want to say Philly, but that's not it. Everybody wanted me to go have a Coney Island thing because that's apparently a big thing. Coney Island?
Coney Island thing in Detroit. Yeah, I thought Coney Island was East Coast.
I don't understand it either, but they had the restaurant on my bill said something about Coney. It wasn't, I don't know which one it was, but that one was good. But I'd take a Buffalo Wild Wings over any of them.
I mean, DIA, it's got this scary Bronco out in the front. That fell on the guy who made it? Uh-huh, Denver, yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing. Don't they have an airport underneath the airport, too?
And I mean, like, who knows what could be underneath there? There could be lizard
people.
I've
definitely seen, you know, whatchamacallit, Anthony Carboni's little, he did a vlog about it.
Like, oh, did he?
Through. He was that's stuck dope. There, so he did a whole thing.
Yeah, I love Denver. I like the big tents there. I love the bus system and monorail they got going on. And then, of course, the scary Bronco is lit day or night. Everybody loves the Bronco, y'all.
Everybody loves the Bronco.
Let's keep it going right now. You know what? I have a bone to pick as well with SFO. Every time we've flown out of SFO so far, no Starbucks. You know, we got Bills. We got a robot. Pete's. Just get Starbucks.
Yeah, Pete's in there.
Let's get real. And then also, like, we don't have any fast food. There's a BK. But, like, other than that,
United
once you go
Terminal,
in there,
United
it's just
Terminal
all fake stuff. And it's like, no, just give me freaking McDonald's. Give me Panda.
Well,
let's
you know,
get the
just
regular.
Like, just like
come on here.
San Francisco itself,
yeah.
SFO is very, like, not a big chain place.
Well, these are brownies.
The Burger King stands alone. But, I mean, talking about food, right? I guess Klein's counts. But there's a bunch of, like, little, not little, like, you know, mom and pop Mexican restaurants. But there's things there that aren't that. Even Burger Joint, which is, like, a chain, or what do you want to call it? It has multiple locations. It's not fucking McDonald's. It's not Chick-fil-A. It's not Buffalo Wild Wings.
You got to understand.
You go over to the shitty part of the United Terminal, right? And you have all the different food things there. They used to have a few in there that were more chainy, but now it is like Proposition Chicken, exactly. Which again is like an SF thing.
I appreciate that, but I don't appreciate it.
But I don't appreciate. Yeah, I know. Give me the fucking Wild Wings.
Give me the easy stuff. Michael writes in and says, over your time in the spare bedroom, have you been able to do everything you have ever wanted to do in the space? What's one thing you still want to do? I mean, you got chopped by Woods.
Yeah, that's great.
Jeff Jarrett put a guitar over your head.
Jeff Jarrett thing. We don't summon him.
Hey, shout out Double J.
Nope,
that's my guy right there. What up, homie?
No. I mean, God, we haven't even been here a year yet. So it's like, what do you want to do? I still want to do a thing. I think I have it booked. I think I finally booked it. But I want to do a one-on-one interview in the chairs on the video floor. I like that look in like the lookbook we did.
Who's your person? Who do you want to do that with?
Oh, I can't tell you. Well, I mean, the person I'm doing with is for it's for sponsored stuff coming up. But it's not like Todd Howard or anything like that. But it's like, don't worry about it. I'd love to have Shu. I'd love to do that with Shu.
That'd be cool.
Jim Ryan. Herman Holt.
Jima.
Kojima
taking it to the next level.
Yeah, of course.
Me and Kojima talking.
You know, I would love to have Jeff Keighley use it for something, like do a Game Awards bit here or something. Yeah, we talked a lot about like how versatile the thing is and how, you know, there's a lot of different developers and PR people who could use it for a whole bunch of different stuff. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about like doing demos in the Twitch room, right? Not live, obviously, but have people set up there to play and then have this set up to be a space where you could just cycle in different journalists from different outlets to sit here and do interviews in front of the wall and then help out our developer friends rather than have to rent a space, do the thing, ship the equipment, blah, 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 let alone another business avenue for us of in terms of let's use the spare bedroom in a smart way.
Yeah.
What do you want to do here?
I got to host an esports shoutcasting with my good friend Sancho West, and I think I'll do more of that using the space and working on my hosting skills.
Okay.
Now I can see the teleprompter, so probably more teleprompter skills. Like
now
that,
you got the glasses. You can see the prompter.
I can see anything now, y'all. Throw a baseball at me, I'll catch it. All right, final couple ones we got to get through.
I threw that thing of raisins at you, and you just let them go all over the floor.
Adam writes in and says, Gary Whittam was supposed to play Vampire Survivors co-op with me. Thanks a lot, Mike and Greg, for showing me his true colors. Adam, you should probably know that we're Gary Whittam's best friends. You know what I mean? Gary Whittam loves hanging out with us, Adam. Matt Batson says, what's for lunch?
I have that rotisserie chicken in there and a bag of salad.
Yeah, but then I also got half a sandwich. Next time you go to Costco, I would like to attend with you because I like getting hot dogs from them.
Yeah.
And chicken bacon.
Again, if my day wasn't so fucked with awesome work to do, we could go right now.
Yeah. Or if you like, you know, joined the stream team, then you took a light lunch with me.
Then I get home and I can't eat with Ben.
You eat double. You eat big, be big, just like Jeff Jarrett would.
We don't talk about Jeff Jarrett. We're not going to summon Jeff Jarrett here.
Mr. Hawks, we have two questions writing in, figuring out. Mr. Hawks says, Mike, great glasses. Greg, great t-shirt. Doc Brown, great Scott.
That was great. I like that one a lot.
Dak the Yak writes back in and says, regarding Tim's discussion of Wonder being triple A, Wonder will certainly be great, but I don't think it's an affront by calling it less than triple A. So he's talking about Wonder being regarded AAA, AA.
Gotcha. Mm. I mean, that's a Nintendo first-party game with Mario. I think that's AAA. I think it might. It doesn't look the way you might think of a AAA. Whatever. I think it's going to have the AAA bones to it. IMO.
Final one. Of course, he's Jose Cortez. Indy and MI, Dead Reckoning, both lose $100 million. Wild.
You're telling me?
You're telling me, jabroni.
I tried to help.
Could have saw that one coming.
Tell y'all stop going to theaters, but y'all didn't want to listen. Now you're there.
Me and Greg have talked about it. Just release it. I would have already watched Barbie.
Yeah.
I would have given Barbie $25.
Totally. 100%.
Anytime. Indy, guess what? I would have given you $20. I'm a sucker.
That I might not. I might have
done.
Barbie doesn't need your money, Mike. Barbie's doing very well without you.
Oppie, Barbie.
Both doing great without
Mission
you, Mike.
Impossible. Fucking
let's see how Blue
Indy
Beetle
over
does.
Here.
Let's see what Blue Beetle does.
Blue Beetle. Reviews are coming out. I will give you
$25.
Hey, Flash was great.
Nick right now. Boom. Give it to me. You know what I mean? Figure it out. I don't want to go to the movie theater anymore. Point blank and period. I don't have anyone to go with. I don't want to go get that stale pretzel or that bad popcorn.
You know how fucked up my day is already with work. Tell me about it. Fucking amazing projects. Tell me about it. Stupid fucking cool shit I have to do.
Tell me about it.
I was getting dressed today.
Yeah.
And Jen's like, did you hear me tell Jen I got, or Jen was like, did you hear me tell Ben I got chicken fingers? And I was like, yeah, you got that and some other green beans or something. She's like, yeah, this is, I want to do something special since you won't be here tonight. And I was like, fuck, right, I have to go to a movie. God damn it.
You get to go see a movie with me.
God damn it.
It'll be a really great time.
Oh, is it going to be like before where I was like, yeah, fucking give me a thing of popcorn and a goddamn thing of fucking M&Ms. Instead it came back popcorn, popcorn and Junior Mints, and then you just got up and left.
Somebody put my Junior Mints on the ground, never gave me them.
Also,
how would we know that? You passed them to us. I thought you didn't give me
M&Ms. It was mayhem in that movie theater.
You notice how he tried to be like, I never have anybody to go with when tonight he is going with several of his friends who he works with?
We should go get food beforehand. Let's eat big. In and out. Think about
or
it.
Costco.
Kind of Funny Best Friends. This has been your Super Chat Post Show with me and Greg for your Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us. Don't forget, if you're watching live on Twitch, you don't got to go anywhere. We are still streaming, still having fun. And if you're over on YouTube, there's a brand new link. You can go watch Bless Get Schooled by IDOM and Street Fighter VI Pro to Pro. Here we go. Goodbye, everyone.